Journalist Faye Flam interviewed risk communication expert Peter M. Sandman on February 9, 2020, about the coronavirus pandemic to be, now officially known as COVID-19. This is Segment 3, Containment. For the other segments, the complete hour-long interview, or other content on coronavirus risk communication, go to www.psandman.com.
Do you think that in China that can you comment on the risk communication there and the reaction there? How China has dealt with it, compared to SARS and just in general compared to the way maybe they should have dealt with it.
Well, I mean, SARS was a very low bar and they cleared it.
Okay. Yes. That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
You know, they did better than SARS. And that's not high praise.
I mean, because they really held back information on SARS and for a long time, longer time than with this.
Yes, yes. I mean, my sense is that what was going on this time was kind of bureaucratic inefficiency and self-delusion more than it was a conspiracy to keep secrets. I have read, and this is secondhand, but I have read that officials in Wuhan looked at the list of things they were supposed to report up the hierarchy, and strange unknown disease wasn't on the list.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of diseases on the list. But strange unknown disease wasn't on the list, and it was a time when very major political, national meetings were happening, and they didn't want to shake the tree unless there was something in writing that said, under these circumstances, you're supposed to shake the tree, and there wasn't. So this was a hidebound bureaucracy and a fear of passing bad news up the line when you hadn't been ordered to pass this particular category of bad news up the line. So clearly early on they made some very serious mistakes in internal communication. Once they decided that it was a big deal. I should say the other error, which is an extremely common error, is early, as they began to say, yes, we've got a problem, they underestimated the size of the problem. They overestimated the likelihood that they could solve it. They interpreted everything that was unknown in a reassuring direction. So it was like no evidence yet of person-to-person transmission got interpreted as it can't be transmitted person-to-person. No evidence yet of community transmission got interpreted as there's no community they optimistically interpreted what they knew and didn't decide that things were worse than they had thought until the evidence was overwhelming that things were worse than they had thought. And so they were slow. That all of that is normal and human, but also culpable. As I say, they did a better job than they did with SARS, but not as good a job as one would have hoped. But the stunning thing, and then perhaps the more important thing, is they have made efforts to contain the disease that are more ambitious and more stringent than anyone has ever attempted. Locking down on cities of 11 million here and 6 million there, and locking down city after city after city. Nobody's done that.
Yeah.
And of course, there was no way you could do that in a democracy. You have to be China, not the United States, to be able to do that. Nobody's done it. It's very clear that to some extent they were trying to lock the barn after the lock the barn door after the horses have escaped.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's also true that, unlike that metaphor, there were still horses escaping. And locking the barn door after some horses have escaped is not entirely useless.
Right, right, right.
You know, so I mean, you can't quite trust WHO's praise for China, because WHO is praising China for tactical reasons. You know, WHO says China's been wonderful because it wants to keep, you know, the communication as open as possible between it and China. So, you know, it's kind of, I mean, WHO at one point praised North Korea for doing a good job against obesity when people were starving.
Did they really? You know, yeah. Oh my God, I didn't know that.
So you can't take literally WHO's praise for China, but nonetheless, you know, it is probably true that they bought us all some time. That China bought us time by shutting down cities in the same way that, you know, the U.S. Administration bought some time by shutting down travel. None of that is going, you know, I mean, if you think of containment as dichotomous, either it's perfect or it's worthless. You know, if you have to choose between perfect and worthless, the answer is worthless. But of course, you shouldn't choose between perfect and worthless. All containment strategies are porous to one extent or another. And for all containment strategies, you know, whether you're talking about the common ones like contact tracing or the much more controversial ones like travel restrictions and quarantines, they all do some good. They are all better at slowing the spread of a disease than stopping it. You know, it's very hard to stop it, but slowing it isn't unimportant. Slowing it has real benefits. The communication problem is, if you talk about containment as if you were stopping the disease, then when you fail to stop the disease, people are going to understandably conclude that that was a stupid thing to do and you shouldn't have done it. And they're going to be shocked and they're going to be upset. So the time to tell people now that, you know, these various containment strategies, they have advantages and they have disadvantages. They have upsides and downsides. And it's a judgment call which is bigger. Excuse me. You know, it's a judgment call which is bigger, the upsides or the downsides. But the thing you know for sure is the upsides are not perfect. So whether you're talking about travel restrictions, you know, your travel bans, which are very controversial, or you're talking about, you know, identifying the contacts of a patient and monitoring those contacts, which is very conventional, those are all aimed at the same thing: slowing, not stopping, the spread of the disease. And if you let the public think they're aimed at stopping the spread of the disease, you're setting yourself up to have to come back and say, "Well, that didn't work."
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, that people tend to be thinking in terms of dichotomies here.
Yeah, and reporters are writing in terms of dichotomies. You know, the purpose of slowing the spread of the disease is to buy, the main purpose is to buy time. The other main purpose is to flatten the curve. And that, you know, that matters. You know, if the disease spreads slowly, you have less disruption than if the disease spreads fast. Even if you assume that in the end, 63% of the public will get it, you know, and that made the number
right
up. But, you know, I mean even if you're going to have exactly the same outcome, you know, exactly the same number of infected people, having them infected over a year is way less disruptive than having them all infected in the same month.
Yes.
You know, because if they're all infected in the same month, you get hospital overcrowding, you get you run out of essential equipment and essential supplies. You have much more serious absenteeism problems. You know, you have to shut down the schools because too many teachers are sick, and you know, all kinds of horrible things happen if it's very intense. And if you can spread it out, and containment helps to spread it out, you know, that helps. It doesn't make it go away. It just makes it less awful.
That makes a lot of sense. It seems like you're right, that they have done us a favor in slowing things down and giving people some chance to prepare here.
Just to rub it in, they're giving us a chance to prepare. One of the ways we need to prepare is to have the public get used to the idea, and we're pissing that time away by not giving people coherent understanding of what's likely coming.